Good morning. The commission is hereby convened in open session Thursday, July 24, 2008, to consider the matter entitled Secretary of Labor versus National Cement Company of California, that is not Freud, Inc., docket number West 2004-182-RM. Present are myself, Chairman Duffy, Commissioner Jordan, Commissioner Young, and Commissioner Cullen. We will start with an overview of the case presented by John Sullivan of the Office of General Counsel. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. This case is before the Commission a second time, this time on remand from the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. It arises from a citation issued to National Cement of California by the Department of Labor's Mine Safety and Health Administration regarding the lack of berms or guardrails along parts of a road that accesses the National Cement Plant in Labeck, California. And the case specifically concerns whether MSHA has jurisdiction over the road under the Mine Act. The court held that the terms used in the source of MSHA's asserted jurisdiction are ambiguous, and that in order for the Secretary of Labor's interpretation of those terms to be upheld, she must address concerns regarding that interpretation raised by the other parties to this case and harmonize her interpretation with the Mine Act's overall enforcement of mine safety standards. Consequently, the court vacated the commission's earlier decision and remanded the case to it for the secretary to submit such an interpretation. The factual record in this case consists largely of the joint stipulations the parties submitted to the ALJ, along with a number of joint exhibits. Ranch Corp owns approximately 250,000 contiguous acres of land in Los Angeles and Kern counties, California. The ranch is comprised of an operating cattle ranch and commercial property, and on its southern portion, a variety of commercial activities take place, one of which is conducted by National Cement at its cement plant facility. The cement plant dates from 1966, when Tejon entered into a long-term plant lease covering approximately 5,000 acres of ranch land with a predecessor operator of the plant. Pursuant to the terms of the lease, National Cement extracts minerals from quarries on the land and processes them at the facility with other materials trucked in from off-site sources to produce Portland cement for sale. Easement deeds covering the road at issue were entered into pursuant to the lease, and the only persons allowed on the subject road are Tejon and National Cement employees, vendors, contractors, lessees, licensees, and visitors, and those persons authorized to use it by the state of California. Posted at the road's intersection with State Route 138 and on the initial segment of the road on the way to the cement plant are signs reflecting this restricted nature of the road, Tejon's ownership, and National Cement's operations. Subject road provides the only paved road for vehicular access to the cement plant, which operates 24 hours per day, 7 days per week. Tanker trucks bring in raw material loads, while other tank trucks of customers arrive at the plant and exit with loads of cement. These trucks run 6 days a week, throughout the day and night, although the cement truck trips are concentrated between midnight and the early morning hours. While the great majority of traffic on the road is due to the cement plant and its operations, a variety of commercial and other activities take place on the southern portion of the ranch, and the subject road is used in connection with those activities by Tejon and its other lessees, licensees, and authorized visitors. Consequently, the parties stipulate to the extent to which the road is used and certain details regarding how it is used in the management of ranching operations by Tejon and its lessees, by entertainment production companies, commercial photographers, and others to access locations on the ranch for the filming of motion picture scenes, commercials, music videos, and for commercial still photography, by hunters and campers pursuant to various programs administered by Tejon management, by Tejon security personnel, by federal and state government agencies, and by utilities. Stipulations also address plans for the subject road to eventually be used as a main traffic artery for an area of the ranch to be developed for housing, retail, schools, and office facilities. Maintenance of the subject road is generally the responsibility of the various parties that use it pro rata to their use. In practice, however, National Cement has always maintained the road and kept it in usable condition, including from time to time resurfacing, sealing, and restriping of the pavement and seasonal patching of sections of pavement needing repair, such as in November 2003, when it resurfaced, sealed, and restriped the road and installed speed bumps and speed limit signs on the road. After filing their joint stipulations and exhibits, the parties subsequently filed cross motions for summary decision on the issue of whether the road is subject to the Mine Act. In determining that the road fell within the definition of coal or other mine set forth in Section 3H1 of the Mine Act, the judge interpreted subsection B thereof according to what he considered to be its plain meaning, concluding that the parties' stipulations established that the road was private, and that under the commonly understood meaning of the term apparent, the road was apparent to the cement plant as those terms appeared in subsection B. On interlocutory appeal, the commission agreed with the judge that the terms were private and apparent to had a plain meaning, but rejected applying that meaning in this instance because it would lead to the absurd result of National Cement being responsible for use of the road by parties over which it had no control. The Secretary appealed the Commission's decision, and the Court of Appeals held that both terms as they were used in the Mine Act had more than one meaning and thus were ambiguous. Because the Secretary instead interpreted them as having a plain, unambiguous meaning, the Court vacated the Commission's decision and remanded the case to it to obtain from the Secretary a Chevron Step 2 interpretation of subsection B, which addresses the problematic issues raised by National Cement and Tejon before the Court. Consequently, the Commission issued a briefing order requesting that the Secretary file a brief upon remand that includes the interpretation required by the Court, supported by argument and authority. That order also provided for the filing of briefs by National Cement and Tejon. In her brief on remand, the Secretary stated the following as the interpretation she was offering in response to the Court's opinion. In view of the Court's holdings, the language of Section 3H1B is ambiguous, and that the Secretary is required to issue citations for all violations over which he has jurisdiction, even if the violative conditions have no effect on miner safety. The Secretary interprets the definition of mine in Section 3H1B of the Mine Act to encompass the access road in this case. The Secretary, however, interprets Section 3H1C of the Act to exclude from the definition of mine vehicles on the road that are not related to National Cement's mining operations. In defending her interpretation, the Secretary submits that using the terms of subsection C to limit the scope of her jurisdiction under subsection B is consistent with the language of Section 3H1's definition of coal or other mine. The Secretary also maintains that her interpretation of subsection B is consistent with the legislative history of the Mine Act and a predecessor statute. In arguing that her interpretation on remand is consistent with the overall structure of the Mine Act, the Secretary addresses the specific concerns raised in the Court's opinion regarding the reasonableness of such an interpretation in light of the enforcement provisions of the Mine Act. The Secretary takes the position that even though her interpretation on remand is different than her previous interpretations of Section 3H1 that she has advanced during and prior to this litigation, it is nevertheless entitled to deference. National Cement describes the Secretary's interpretation upon remand as unprecedented and illogical, arguing that it's impermissible for her to read subsection C to modify the scope of subsection B. National Cement also believes that the legislative history supports its position that the access road is neither private nor apparent to the cement plant. According to National Cement, the Secretary's interpretation upon remand clashes with the text and structure of the Mine Act as a whole, and thus does not satisfy the Court's instruction in remanding the case. National Cement requests that the Secretary's interpretation on remand is the latest in the latest of policy shifts on her part regarding the status of the access road, so that the Commission should refuse to accord that interpretation the deference it otherwise would be owed. Intervenor Tejon objects that the Secretary's interpretation on remand would have her treating the access road as a mine only some of the time, depending on who was using it, which Tejon argues the Secretary cannot do under the Mine Act. Tejon is also concerned that it and other mine users of the access road will be considered operators to the extent that National Cement does not control non-mine traffic on the road. Like National Cement, Tejon believes that the Commission should reject the Secretary's interpretation on remand because of her history of constantly changing position on whether the access road is a coal or other mine under Section 3H1. I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, John. First of all, John, I appreciate very much your overview this morning and what I thought was an extraordinarily well-presented decisional memorandum. This case has bounced around for several years now and has gotten more and more complicated as things have progressed. And I thought that you summarized the history quite well, and in particular summarized the arguments and the court's direction after it reviewed our previous decision in this case. So again, thank you for that very good work. If there are no other questions, I'll begin with Commissioner Young.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John, I'd like to also add my thanks for a very insightful analysis of this case and the subtleties and nuances contained in it. This is indeed a difficult case, and sometimes difficult cases can make bad law, and I think that there's a temptation to do that here and a temptation that we ought to avoid, because I think that once one makes a decision that jurisdiction must attach, if at all, to a physically discrete real property interest defined by the land itself, it's kind of like pregnancy. You don't kind of have it. And I don't see any principled way to apply jurisdiction to this road in this particular and very unusual case. Just looking down the road, if you should pardon the pun, a little bit, what should happen if the road use changes gradually over time, changing the composition of users of the road, uses of the road, and the traffic which is on the road at any given time? At what point and by what calculus does one determine where jurisdiction begins and ends? And this isn't some reductio ad absurdum fantasy. You know, the facts on the ground lead us to believe that the land use is changing, perhaps in some subtle ways with increased traffic, and perhaps in a dramatic way in the near future with plans for a residential subdivision on the property. At that point, you'll have a situation that goes from being interesting and theoretically difficult to deal with, which is what we're confronted with here, to being actually and pragmatically chaotic. And I think it's at that point, looking further down the road, that it becomes obvious to me that applying the jurisdictional scope of the Mine Act and all of its requirements, and I do believe you must apply all of its requirements. I don't believe you can start parsing up the subsections and limiting how you approach it, as the Secretary suggests. And I don't see any principled way to do that in this case. When you look at the difficulty confronting some entity such as the Tejon Ranch, or even possibly the state of California, and treating them as an operator of a road, I believe that you just wandered too far away from the central intent and purpose of the Mine Act. There is some difficulty here, and I recognize that the protective purpose of the Mine Act should be withheld if it can be reasonably done. But I don't think that the Secretary has advanced a reasonable interpretation that fully addresses the Court of Appeals' concerns in this case. Just as a side note, to the extent that there is interest in policy advice from us, and we've been advised that perhaps that's not the case, I would suggest to both National Cement and the Secretary that even if no jurisdiction is ultimately found attached in this case, that they should consider enhancing their focus on the safety factors that can be controlled, especially not only the condition and operability of the trucks that use the road, and focusing in them with inspections, both proactive inspections by the operator and enforcement inspections by the agency, but also especially on the training of the equipment operators and the truck drivers who use the road. This would provide additional benefits not only in their operation and use of the equipment on the road in question, but on the public roads which lead to it, and which, from my view anyway, of the video and photographic evidence in this case, are largely indistinguishable from the road in question and don't contain the safety features which the Secretary seeks to impose on this private road. So again, I would find that the Secretary has not advanced a reasonable and permissible interpretation of the Mine Act in this case, and I would not find jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Commissioner Collin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would also like to thank the Office of General Counsel and John Sullivan for the thorough and thought-provoking decisional memo on the case. My thoughts in the case are tentative. I was not here previously when the Commission considered it. We did not have oral argument this time around, and I want to hear the thoughts of the other commissioners and think about them before reaching a final decision. I would also say that I do not like the result of my tentative opinion. I'm very concerned that the effect of this opinion will not enhance safety as on this road. These are large trucks driving two-lane roads without berms or guardrails. Accidents have occurred on this road involving rollovers of these trucks. Miners have made complaints to MSHA about road conditions. MSHA has determined that the road is hazardous, especially during inclement weather. And I don't agree with the characterization of this road as presenting a merely atypical highway hazards. I would also say that essentially I agree with the previous dissenting opinions by Commissioner Jordan and D.C. Circuit Judge Rogers that the plain meaning of Section 3H1B confers jurisdiction over this road to MSHA. However, a majority of the D.C. Circuit panel, which heard this case, decided that the words private and appurtenant to in Section 3H1B are ambiguous. And so this is the law we must now apply. Under the second step of the Chevron analysis, our task is to consider whether the Secretary's interpretation of the ambiguous statute is reasonable. If so, we must affirm it. Here, because of the Circuit Court opinion, the Secretary has stated an interpretation of Section 3H1 in which subdivision C is said to modify and limit subdivision B. And I cannot conclude that that interpretation is reasonable as a matter of statutory construction. As National Cement points out in its brief, Congress created a three-part definition of the word mine. Each of these parts are alternative and independent definitions. They each add to the definition of mine. There is nothing in the language of the statute or the history of the Act, or, as I understand it, our jurisprudence, which suggests that Clause C limits Clause B, as the Secretary proposes. Excuse me. Moreover, I think it is wrong for the Secretary on a jurisdictional basis to suggest that one part of the definition of mine limits another part of the overall definition. As Commissioner Young said, once an area of land is determined to constitute a mine, it is within MSHA's jurisdiction. It would be different for the Secretary to say, I have jurisdiction over the entire road, but I will not exercise that jurisdiction as to vehicles on the road which are unrelated to National Cement's mining operation. I think that kind of approach, which I understand the Secretary previously took, would balance the interests of the different parties while protecting the safety of the truck drivers. But here and now, the Secretary is saying that her jurisdiction is limited by Clause C of Section 3H1, and I do not find that to be an acceptable reading of the statute. And I think it would, in the long run, be detrimental to safety because it sets a precedent for a dilution of MSHA's jurisdiction. So, in view of the statutory construction analysis, I don't think it's necessary to reach the other potential issues in the case, and I would find that the Secretary's present interpretation of the statute is unreasonable.
Thank you, Commissioner Collin. Commissioner Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Let me also just add to my expression of thanks for the Office of General Counsel for their assistance in this case and your decisional memorandums, as well as all the other assistance that they provide. I have considered the Secretary's interpretation that she's proffered in this case as to the relationship and the different clauses for the definition of what constitutes a mine. As has been indicated by my colleagues, the Secretary's approach here is that the road in question would be considered a mine, except when vehicles are on it that are not related to the mining process, and there she would have no jurisdiction over those vehicles. I agree with my colleagues that this interpretation, I find it to not be reasonable. Both, it's not consistent with the language of the statute. I don't believe one can reasonably read a restriction in Clause C that restricts the definition of a mine in B but not in A. And analytically, I find it an unreasonable definition. However, I disagree with my colleague. Commissioner Young indicated that he saw no principal way to apply jurisdiction to this road. I believe that there is a principal way and that it is reasonable for the Secretary to assert jurisdiction over this road. The Court of Appeals has indicated that the term private is not necessarily plain meaning. It's an ambiguous term, and that it could be construed very narrowly to apply to only a particular entity or individual, or it could be construed slightly more broadly as just a road that excludes the general public, and it left for the Secretary to consider how she would apply that term and also to consider the ramifications of her asserting jurisdiction. I believe that consistent with the term private and given the court's instructions that it is reasonable for the Secretary to assert jurisdiction on this road. Now, given the language of the Act. Of course, the other problem issues that have been raised in this case are having to do with what happens when she asserts jurisdiction. There have been many problems and issues raised in the case, and legitimate concerns by the entities in the proceeding as to being held responsible in situations that they may not be able to control or abate. However, I believe that they can be addressed, and I believe also that we can't lose focus of the concerns that prompted the Secretary's enforcement action in this case, which were concerns of the drivers, the miners that drove these cement trucks. We have a situation where these miners will be deprived potentially of an important safety right, the right to the guardrails and the berm, simply because the road that they drive on to bring the cement from the plant down to the main road is used erratically and infrequently by other entities. Now that I find as more troubling as some of the other concerns that have been focused on in this case. And it seems to me, it seemed very strange to try to explain to a miner why your colleague over in this mine working on that road would have the right to berms and guardrails. You don't have the right to berms and guardrails because every once in a while there are film crew drives on the road or a hunting group drives on this, uses this road. So the Secretary cannot insist on guardrails and berms here. Equally troubling to me is the fact that these miners would be then required to have MSHA jurisdiction over the plant, the area of land that, in which the plant is operating. And they leave that plant, being asserted there's possibly no MSHA jurisdiction on the road, perhaps it'd be OSHA jurisdiction to deal with their complaint about particular hazard with the berms and guardrails. However, their truck continues under MSHA jurisdiction. If, you know, safety hazard connected to the truck itself under subsection C of the definition of mine would remain, you know, MSHA's control, irrespective of the geographical connection to the mine site. So, I mean, we have these troubling concerns from the miner's perspective. And I also have to consider that National Cement, although I appreciate the concerns that have been raised by National Cement and TEMA, and have thought their briefs were very well prepared, and I can tell everybody has spent a lot of time on this. But I have to consider that the argument that they would not have control over aspects of the road, I have to wonder if there were damage to the road, and if National Cement decided it had to fill, you know, a lot of potholes in the road, and that these potholes were interfering with its ability to produce the cement, that they were damaging the trucks to an extent that the trucks required more maintenance. And this was impacting on National Cement's productivity and profits in the cement plant. What would they do? Would they not be able to repair this road? If a film crew wanted to drive on that road at the very time National Cement wanted to close the road to resurface it or repair potholes, I find it very difficult to believe that National Cement would be helpless and would be indicating it could not repair the road so that it could have the trucks operate productively. There would be a way to have the people removed from the road that needed to be removed from the road. Obviously, Tehan, as the owner of the mine, can always impose restrictions. It can always remove the people that need to be removed from the mine, from that road. Is it unreasonable, as has been put forward, to have Tehan be considered an operator of the mine? Well, Tehan is the owner of the road. And historically, and under most of the case law that we've had under this provision of operator, an owner, the, you know, definition of an operator includes the owner. The operator means any owner, lessee, or other person who operates, controls, or supervises a coal or other mine. Obviously, Tehan does not supervise or control much going on the cement plant and the road, but in terms of connection to the mining process. But that last clause, who operates, controls, or supervises the mine, does not necessarily limit the application of owner. I mean, at least one case under the D.C. Circuit, A.B.C. Andrews analyzed that. So it's not necessarily a restriction on the definition of who is an operator. And so under the language, an owner can be considered an operator. And I therefore find it difficult to say that there is no way to assert principal jurisdiction on this road when we have a road that statute says private roads are pertinent to a mining operation. And we have a road here that is not open to the public and is pertinent to the mining operation. And even if you find ambiguity in that, the court did not rule out the possibility under the language of the statute that it could still be considered coming within that language of private road pertinent to the mining operation. And we have the problem areas that have been raised where National Cement may not be able to have dealings with or a connection or control over various individuals that might find themselves on that road. There always is the owner of that road that can be resorted to, and as the Secretary has indicated, their arguments can be looked to as an operator. With that in mind, I think that although I find the Secretary's proffered analysis analyzing the definition of mine here on which she would rely, where she would basically lose jurisdiction over the road at various points to be an unreasonable one. I'm unable to rule that she is not able to assert jurisdiction, and for that reason I would rule in favor of the Secretary asserting jurisdiction.
Thank you, Commissioner Jordan. I agree with the I agree with the recommendation of the decisional memorandum and would find that the Secretary's interpretation of Section 3H1 of the Mine Act, proffered on remand from the D.C. Circuit Court, is not a permissible interpretation and is therefore not responsive to the Court's directive to provide, quote, a Chevron Step 2 interpretation of Section 3H1B, which addresses the problematic issues raised by National Cement and Tehan, end quote. To be sure, the Secretary has a difficult mandate from the Court. She must address the difficult issues of control, liability, and operator status while harmonizing her interpretation of Section 3H1B with the Act's overall enforcement of mine safety and health standards, a challenge that the Court frankly stated might be difficult to achieve. Her attempt to rationalize her characterization of the access road as a mine under the terms of subsection 3H1B by interposing it with section 3H1C, in my view, only adds to the confusion and has the unintended consequence of actually exempting certain vehicles that she would undoubtedly wish to exert jurisdiction over. For example, miners' personal vehicles that they use to get to and from work and the haul trucks leaving the cement plant. As I read Section C, none of those vehicles qualifies as equipment or machines, quote, used in or to be used in the work of extracting minerals, or used in or to be used in the work of milling such minerals, end quote. That anomaly alone leads me to conclude that the Secretary is wrong to conclude that subsections B and C should be read in tandem so as to eliminate from Mine Act coverage access road users and their vehicles that are not affiliated with National Cement's extraction and milling activities. Moreover, the merging of subsections B and C does not resolve the issue of whether non-transportation-related standards would apply to other activities along the access roads, for example, fire prevention, explosives, and air quality standards. Subsection C was clearly adopted by Congress to capture a number of facilities, structures, equipment, and machinery that, while intimately involved and interrelated to mineral extraction and processing, might not be physically located near those activities. For example, an equipment repair facility that services several mines in a given area, but which is not co-located with any one of those mines. And of course, it would apply to all of those facilities, equipment, and so forth that are located in the area where extraction takes place. Lastly, notwithstanding my earlier point that the Secretary's restrictive reading of subsection C could conceivably eliminate miners' private vehicles from Mine Act protection while they are on the access road, the Secretary's new approach to the issues in this case on remand does not address what liabilities and responses will be required when vehicles of national users and other users of the access road are involved in accidents with each other. For example, if a miner on his way to work is broadsided by a hunter coming off a side road without yielding the right of way and who is found to be driving under the influence, would the ensuing fatality be reportable on National's accident history? Is the area of the accident a mine because the miner was driving on it, or not a mine because the hunter was driving on it? Is National responsible for withdrawing all persons from the area and preserving the evidence? Or since no mining activity was taking place at that location, are those Tehan's responsibility as an operator under the circumstances? In sum, the Secretary's revised interpretation of 3H1 is illogical, unworkable, results in unintended consequences, and is non-responsive to the D.C. Circuit's direction to the Secretary to provide an interpretation that harmonizes the issues raised by National and Tehan with the Act's overall enforcement of mine safety and health standards. So I would join my colleagues in finding that the Secretary's newly proffered interpretation of 3H1 is unreasonable. We have some unfinished business that we'll take care of in the decision as to length of briefs and extension. extensions of time, et cetera. At the time that they were submitted to the commission, we lacked a quorum. They will be taken care of, obviously, in the decision, and whatever you asked for, you got. Anything else? Again, thank you very much, John, for your presentation here with the chair.